You are listening to the Transformation Table, where we talk about God's business.
Menzo, good morning, my brother. Good morning to everyone. We are live again on Barshark Radio, and we are very excited because the main thing also pushed me to start Barshark Radio again, an online radio station. So ek sê, dis waar ons die pot gooi, of die potte gooi, was kerk by die werk. So binnenkort gaan jou Barshark Radio na kerk by die werk kan luister op jou foon, jy gaan het vir jou werkers kan speel. Yes! Church at work. Morning, Menzo. Morning, Ken. Morning, Samuel. Ben, Umbeno, Alida, Dirk Lies. This is the people already sitting around the table with me and our listeners on Barshark Radio. Good morning, Menzo.
Morning. morning, Freek. Yes, it's a Barshark Radio is like a brother that we missed. So it's good to have it all back. And as you know, I'm very excited about Kerk by die Werk. Mm. And that little message that you played earlier, I just got the tail end of it, but I would love you to if you can post it for us, because whoever that guy is, he had it down to a T. You know, God wants to be in our business, you know, and in our business means in all our business, even our business at work, what we do, how we conduct ourselves during the day at work and at home. You know, all our business, and I think we're going to have this discussion very, very intensely this morning. But that's exactly what we're going to discuss. You know, how much is he in our business, and how what the blessing is when he's in our business. Hmm. You know, this morning while I was brushing my teeth, somehow when I brush my teeth in the morning, there's always a bit of a word for me in that process, and I thought I'll keep it for later, but it feels like it's right for now, is the darkness cannot let a little bit of light in, because then it loses its identity. Not even a little pinch of light can come into the darkness, because then it's not darkness anymore.
Yes.
So it has to be the absence of love. Yeah. So if you think that you're going to let just a little bit of light into your darkness, you're making a big mistake. Open the doors wide, open the windows, rip the roof off, let the light in. It is going to scream in any case. So, yes, I'm very excited for this morning. I see we've got Dirk with us. We've got something that we want to share with you guys that happened to us. And so we're very excited to start with that. I wonder, who can I ask to open for prayer with us? Freek, can I ask you to open with prayer for us, please? Are we too early? Wait. No, we're right on time.
Father, we thank you for the wonderful day that you have given us. Thank you for your grace that we can stand up this morning healthy, that we have our voices, our ears, our eyes to proclaim the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you for everybody that's around the table this morning, that's gathering in your name to speak about your business. We know you are a personal God, you are a relationship God, and you are the great, great I Am, and the great warrior. And we thank you, Father, that we can be together, and for everybody that's going to listen later on to the podcast, listening to us now again on Barshark Radio, thank you for making it possible that we can be on air also to the outside of the walls of the presence. And thank you, Father. We bless and honor you for what you have done up to now with Unlock Radio inside the presence. And it's all the glory and honor belongs to you. And we are very excited about this day, Father, because you have given this day to us to make a difference, to add value to people. And that's why we gather this morning, to speak about you, Lord, and to speak about your kingdom and how the kingdom of God can come into the workplace also, Father, where you want us to carry it into the workplace. And we thank you in Jesus' name, for what is going to happen this morning, what is going to be shared this morning. It's all for your glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Frik. Frik, I noticed now for the first time that there's no more distortion to your voice left. I picked it up now for the first time. Your voice is 100% clear.
Yeah, it's incredible what the Lord is doing in my voice, with my voice also. And you know, actually, I need to start preaching again this weekend on the outside of the presence. It's been a few months just now. I was just focusing inside, and we've got an invitation to Godards there, close by Wellington. So me and Hannah and our two young children will leave Saturday morning, God willing, of afternoon. And we'll come back on Monday. It's about 5 hours drive from us. But this was the thing, you know. You don't want to talk too much because your voice doesn't sound good to you. But by God's grace, it's getting better every day. So I thank Him for that.
Awesome, awesome. As we go, welcome Dirk. Goeiemôre Dirk. I want to kick off because I think we've got a lot of ground to cover this morning. So I'm going to give you guys a bit of a background, what happened and why we're having this particular meeting. And I was hoping that two other gentlemen is going to join us as well. But I'm going to try and be very brief. I just want to set up the ball for Dirk so he can kick it through the goalpost. So last week, Monday, my little diner truck was hijacked, and you know, then lots of things happen at the same time, and you're trying to recover this and make sure the driver is safe and all the things. And it is amazing how God intervened. And you know, firstly, the driver was I picked up the driver, my putty was safe and he was okay, and then they let us know they have recovered the truck, but the load was gone. There was quite a bit of cable on the truck. And I decided I'm going to pursue this part of it. The car track guys let us know where the truck was standing for a while. And I went out there to go and see what's going on there. But, you know, I'm not a tough guy. I don't carry a firearm. So I found myself a little bit inadequate for the job at that point. I found the house. I was hanging around there, and I realized that I stirred up some issues because there was people that a guy that was keeping an eye on me while I was there. And to make this long story short, I realized that I'm there by myself alone, and if I move, there will be opportunity for them if the stock is in their property. That stock can be moved, and then we've lost our hold on it. And, you know, I suppose it's one of the things that us men do. You know, my stuff is my stuff. You don't want somebody to damage or hurt your surroundings. So in that process, I decided to hang around. And there's only one guy that I could think about that is capable of coming to my assistance, and I phoned Dirk, and I realized that I'm now asking a massive favor because it's out of his area that he operates. Dirk, I wish I knew what your job description was, because we were talking about the peacemakers last week, and the only thing I can say is that Dirk is our peacemaker in our area, not the peacekeeper. He's the peacemaker, and in our area where we. You know, he's part of a security company, and he's done some amazing stuff there. But I had nobody else that I could phone. And all Dirk said very, very calmly, I guess no dar. You know, Frederick, when you know from the police days, when your guy that's got needs to have your six says to you calmly, I guess no dar. There's something that happens inside of you. You know, you just know that I'm covered. Anyway, I'm trying to do this without getting emotional. But there's the story. So then I phoned the two gentlemen that was helping me, that had recovered the truck, and they were not too far away. So I said to them, do you have the authority to come and help me secure the load? And they said, look, we've got to get permission. And they came through, they phoned me back. They said, no, they got permission from the company. They'll come through as well. And before we knew it, we had a small army there, you know, a SEAL Team 6, if I can refer to the movies. And so, you know, while we were waiting for the police to arrive so that we can get entrance into the premises, I went to these two guys and I said to them, you know, I really appreciate you giving me your time and making the call to come out here. And they said something that ripped me apart. It broke my heart. You know, these are obviously guys that take their work seriously. They are there. They are equipped. They did their job, you know, and they recover many vehicles every day. It is a tough job. It is a dangerous job. You know, and I take my hat off to them. And the one guy answered me and said, just remember, there's a special place in hell for us. We have a better part of hell that we're going to live in. And Freak, you can imagine, I wanted to start crying, you know, because there's no better part in hell. There's only hell. And why would he think that? Who told him that lie? And when I shared that with Dirk, I could see he was as upset about it as I am, maybe even more. And he had a comment and he said, I know where that comes from. And yeah, this kept me busy for a while as well, Dirk, if I'm saying it correctly. And I said to him, Dirk, you need to come and share with us. You know, the warrior spirit can be a very dangerous thing to have if you are deceived. And famous words, Peter, how do you know you've been deceived? You don't. You don't. So, Dirk, I hope I set up the ball for you correctly. Go for it. Thank you, Dirk.
Yeah, gentlemen, good morning. Menzo, thank you. And Freek, I just want to say it's amazing to see you again and to hear your voice again. So, Freek and myself, we met a couple of years ago. So just a bit of a background from who I am and where I'm from. So for many years, straight out of school, went to do national my service. I actually went to the Air Force, there I started boxing, as young men do when they've got nothing to do during basic training. And something clicked in me, and I realized that I've got quite a effective left hook, and but immediately that's where the enemy gripped me. While I was in school, I was recruited by the AWB, so I was a very active member of the AWB when I was a very young man, 17, 18 years old. Started doing camps with them, then going into the boxing, and coming out of the army, clearing out after my year's service, I then joined a bouncing group on the East Rand, and that became my whole identity. I had this warrior spirit. I want to jump straight into that thing. I had this fight in me, like unfortunately most Afrikaners do. And I've realized through the years how the enemy uses that to come and destroy, not to build up. Then I was referred to the great warriors in the Bible and how these guys, did these exploits and killed people. But the difference between what I was allowing the enemy to do and the warriors, David's great men, these great warriors, is they were led by God to do God's work. So yes, the peace is never the absence of war. That's not what it means. But What I did, and unfortunately, so many other guys that, especially in the industry that I'm in now, and Menzo was referring to those two young men from the trekking company, is, you know, they go out and they've got this maybe ability to stand up and kick doors down and fight, you know, no fear, but it's not under the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's not led by God. It's from a different spirit. Where Jesus walked with his disciples and they called for fire and brimstone to come down and destroy the city. Jesus said to them, You don't know what spirit you're from. And that thing, so fast forwarding a bit, and then many years I went through and you know, fighting became my identity. I believe that is who I am. I was not saved. Only got saved in 2004 or something. I can't remember. It's quite a while ago. But then when I got saved, the Lord freed me from that spirit of aggression. So there's a difference between carrying that spirit of aggression and having a warrior spirit that's under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And that's the difference. When you come in and you, just because you can fight, you've got a louder voice than the people you're arguing with. And unfortunately, including our wives, you know, we come in as men. You know, and we step in, and that is not authority. You know, I want to take authority of the situation. If it's not from God, if it's not led by God, you are actually operating out of the spirit led by the devil. And that destroys, boys. That is something that I've realized. When I got saved, you know, I now had this inner turmoil. You know, what do I do? I know that God has put a lot of stuff in me, at men's camps and men's ministry and all of that. So, you know, now do I now become soft and total, you know, no violence, all violence is bad? The Lord showed me then this beautiful thing, and all gifts, all abilities need to be put under His authority, under the lordship of Jesus Christ. That's when you can come in into a dangerous situation, where you can then bring the opposite spirit, knowing you've got the ability. Standing back and calming a situation does not always mean now, you know, you are weak. That is when you take the warrior spirit and you can come in and calmly take authority, because now you are led by the Holy Spirit. God is a God of peace. It does not mean that He's not in a war, if it makes sense to you. You know, so I don't think we're ever going to come to a place where there's just peace and kumbaya on earth, because God is a God of authority. God is a God of his, and He's in war. He uses war. He uses warriors. He uses mana to go and, you know, into situations. Imagine if all God's men would just step out and not get involved. We're talking about, you know, kingdom in your workplace. Imagine if there's no godly men in the police force or in private security industry, imagine the chaos. We would pick up bodies left, right, and center. So it's this. I've actually got so much to say. I don't know how much time we have. So what I realized and what God showed me is how do we come in with an opposite spirit? I've got many testimonies of one of the things that we do is riot control. When there's in our area, we see a lot of marches and protests and stuff. And what I've seen is if you come in and not show fear, but you come in an opposite spirit of, you know, engaging with the organizers of the meeting, of the rally, of the protest, and you speak to them. I've seen with my own eyes how the Lord comes and He uses that and it turns it around. I've seen how those areas have become a point of prayer where you can stand and pray with them instead of seeing them flesh to flesh as the enemy, like we often do. So that's the difference where you out of aggression or out of maybe ownability, that we can fight, you know, I'll stand for my rights, and that destroys. That then is fueling the flames. But you come in with the same love that Christ shows each and every one of us. If you come in and you see the spirit behind that person, that spirit of destruction, and you come in the opposite spirit, God is above all spirit. He's above everything. He is the name above all names. And guys, that is what I've seen in my own life. That is what I've experienced. I didn't read this stuff in a book. I've experienced it. Hands on, where we can come in, and even if you know, and I actually want to say, especially if you know you've got ability, and you this big Rambo guy, and you've got the ability to, you know, to slap three oaks to the ground. If you come in and just bring that under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, see what God can do in and through you. And that is how now we bring that into the workplace. If there's business owners here, you walk into your office in the morning, you open the door and you see, you know, your receptionist is a bit ruffled and your managers are out of place. Guys, immediately we take authority, because we take that, we carry that authority given to us by God. So I don't know if there's any other comments or questions around this. I also don't want to speak too much.
Thank you, Dirk. I just want to tell you the story behind what Dirk has just mentioned with the riot control. So Dirk, correct me if I'm wrong, because you were on the inside, I was standing on the outside, so I can only tell you what I saw. But I mean, a while ago, we had some very violent rioting in our area. The guys were breaking down the people's windows. You know, there was shots fired. There was people driving around with AKs in their vehicles. It was serious business. And the problem was that the business owners were getting agitated. You know, they were getting scratchy to the point where they were carrying openly big guns around. And I said to myself, this is a powder keg. This is serious trouble.
Yeah.
And we asked some of our security guys, security companies in the area, guys, what are you going to do? And the answer was, there's nothing we can do. There's thousands of these guys. What do we do? And it went on, Derek, I can't remember, was it 2 days or 3 days? Two days?
A couple of days. Yeah.
Yeah. It was getting ugly. You know, and there was fear, and there was anger, and there was frustration. You know, all those Rottweilers that the enemy walk around with. You know, fear, anger, violence, all those things was there. And then this is the way I saw it. You managed to rally all the security companies. The guys is in competition with each other. Started working together. And I saw one morning, our Dirk walked into the middle of this crowd, asked who the leaders are, and had a discussion with them. And I didn't have the bravery to go with Dirk into that group, but I was glad that Dirk was there. And suddenly the whole atmosphere changed. You know, Dirk came to me, and I was angry. You know, I was one of the guys that was ready to go to war. And he said, you must understand, these people need to be able to express themselves. They are upset. They're angry. They're frustrated. Let's allow them to express themselves, but we will make sure, or we will do our best to take the sting out of breaking the things down. And Amen. What happened, what was the end? They felt safe because Dirk was there to protect them. We felt safe there because Dirk and his team was there to protect them. And the goal was achieved. They could walk around and dance and do their thing. And suddenly there was a form of peace. There was a form of order. There was a form of control. It went a little bit haywire later in that week, where they marched to the police station and they wanted to open a case against Dirk and say that he was intimidating them. But I don't think they got that case to fly. But Dirk, it wasn't you. And I think that's the point you're trying to make. It was divine intimidation. Yeah, it was. They realized that they are now getting under different spirit, the opposite spirit.
That's it.
And the guy that had the guys that lended their ears to the enemy realized that they are now losing. There's a little bit of light that came in. The little bit of light came in, and they were fearful of that light. And it was a miracle that we saw happening there. And it is again that opposite spirit. Go in with a calm and opposite spirit. Freek, you've got your hand up.
Yes, thanks, Renzo. Thanks, Dirk. It's good to see you also again. Listening to you and what you also say, Renzo, about where people will say, but it's better to run away. I believe that's why God put us through the army and through the police, because I always say what I remember from my rugby days is it's all about the team. There's no I in the team. We play as a team. That's why the Springbok team is so successful now, because they play for something bigger than themselves. They play for the people of this nation. They play for the country. They are proud of that jersey again. You can see it in them. It's all about the team. And when I was in the army, there was words that we always used to hear a lot is, "Yo Mikey, wat mi saam nie, moenie jou Mikey los nie." And it's all about not leaving your team or your mate or the fellow colleagues or soldiers not behind, even if they are wounded, especially if they are wounded. Or dead, you carry that body out of the war. You try your upper best. And then when I was in the police, it was about you don't run away. You need to run into the trouble. You need to run towards the trouble. That's why you're there. You're there to protect and serve. So if there's riots or a bank robbery, you want that. You run into it. When you're in it, then you will. And a lot of times I saw out of my own life those days was the intimidation, the your body language, your aggression coming into it and still staying calm, cool-head. And then, like you said, the Lord comes into your life, and now he starts to teach you how to fight his way. You can't fight the enemy with his weapons. You can't fight hate with hate. You can't fight darkness with darkness. Darkness doesn't cast out darkness. Light cast out darkness, like you said in the beginning, Menza. But I want to share a story with you. When the Lord gets hold of you, I remember I just started off working in the prison, in Krugersdorp prison, and one day you have to wait for an official to come and fetch you to take you into the prison. And I had a small group of guys, mostly of them were ex-gangsters and generals in the number, and that I had a Bible study with each week on a Wednesday morning. So I sat and waited for the official to come and fetch me. And he was also a pastor, tall guy, black pastor, black man. But we walked into the prison. It was quite a distance to walk. And as we came around the corner, two inmates were fighting. Now, in prison, when there's a fight or a war breaks out, it's quick. They need to stab and do their thing quick because the dogs are coming, the officials are coming. So when they get into an argument or a fight, it's very quick. And as we came around this corner, they were fighting these two, but they were two cleaners. And so they were busy polishing the floor and they had an argument. Or maybe the one walked over the way the one was cleaning. I don't know, it's a few years ago, but yeah, I'm almost 23 years back. But I remember the Schlager, the official, his surname was Schlager. He took them, apart. He was a big guy, tall guy, and he separated them, stood in between them. And he said they must come with him, they must follow him, because he wanted to now charge them for what they have done, in the prison. So they walked with us, and as we walked, they started arguing again. And the next moment, one of them took one of these big polish brushes for the floors, and he threw it at the other one, but he missed him. Unfortunately, he got hold of me on this, what is it in English, shock binky. A place you don't want to be, a big brush like that hit you. And you know, the flesh in me, because I'm still in the flesh, I was thinking, I'm going to put your head through that wall now. And you know, you have the ability, you can do it. And at that time, this group of guys that I was ministering to, you know, you're like a call me coach, but you're like a dad to them. They come around the corner to come and take me to the place, to the chapel, to greet me. And at that stage, when this happened, they came around the corner. And everybody, it was like that whole prison was watching me, because a lot of them knew me in the past. And I need to say, especially coming this attack or this thing from another race, a black man especially, it was that hatred inside of me. And who said it once? He said, that old man is like those Freddy Krueger, Halloween relish, horror movies. You know, they can't die. They even in the water, but they will wake up again. And the guy said, when you get born again, don't go back to that old monster that's sleeping in the water. Because if you awaken him, the Bible says he's going to come back seven times worse than he was before. And at that stage, when this happened and he threw me, I said, really, I'm honest with you, it was in me to say, ek slaat vir jou die raam hier. Gaan my die raam hier hardloop. And the Schlager, the official, was also, you know, they were shouting, and because now a civilian was assaulted actually by him. And the first thing was, got him under control, and the next thing is, do you want to make a case against him? And I did something I couldn't do before Christ came into my life. I said to them, it's okay, don't worry, it was an accident. And I walked up to him and I said, don't worry, it's all right. When we came into the chapel, some of the guys, the group of guys, one of them said to me, he said, coach, if it looked like you just wanted to go for him, we would have taken him out. It would have been like piranhas on him. We would have been like wild dogs on him. We would have killed him. And I realized, you know, we need to practice what we preach. And by God's grace, he kept me that day to fight the enemy with. I always tell people, my biggest weapon that I learned to take revenge is to forgive somebody. And if I fight the devil or the enemy with God's weapons, stay calm, self-control, the fruit of the Spirit. But you still know, you once were somebody that can kill that guy with your hands, and you don't want to do that anymore. It's not like you don't want to do it. Actually, it's like You can't do it anymore. And you look at yourself afterwards in the mirror and you say, Father, what have you have? Why did this happen? It's not me. And there is where I saw that the old man has passed away. You're a new man. You're a new creation. You know, Menzo, especially that time with Mossy's clutch and the challenge that we had. You know, there was a time that people said, you can maybe share what was asked to you, but why doesn't Freek or Uncle Freek do something? Or it was Beverly who asked you. What did you say to them?
Obviously you have the ability not only in physical size, but you know, to walk in there and sort this out. You know, you can intimidate the guys and pull them together and do it the violent way, but you stood back. Yeah, and I realized that the last thing we want here is that the old man comes out again, and we need to protect you, you know. And I think the problem is, sorry, Freek, I interrupted you now. I wanted to start a new train of thought, but just finish your story.
That even in God's faithfulness, how he, you were the guy who actually sorted it out, because you were, I said afterwards that Menzo is like a pit bull. He doesn't leave. He does. If his teeth is on you, he will not leave you. He will stuck onto you. But, in the time working in the prisons, ministering in the prisons, where a lot of bad attitude came my way, and you want to actually, and you know, I must stay in the spirit. My war is not against flesh and blood, but yes, I will fight you in the flesh with a towel. I'll rather wash your feet than. But there's one place I will not fight with a towel, and that's in the spirit. I'm going to be a lamb in the flesh, but in the spirit I'm a lion, because I know who's the enemy. And you need to understand who's the enemy. What is the character of the enemy? Want to break your, attack your identity, wants to break you down, wants to self-doubt, self-hatred. All that stuff is the enemy. He's the father of lies. He only comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's his purpose. He cannot love. He's full of hate. He is hate. Like God is love, the enemy is hate. He hates. There's no love in him. I was at a youth camp once, and one of the girls asked me, she said, but is there no grace for the devil? And I said, no, there is no grace for him anymore. He messed up. That's it. He rebelled against God, and there's no grace for him and the fallen angels. So, yeah, I just wanted to share. It's amazing, Dirk, after all the years to see, yeah, the guys are still walking with the Lord, and how the Lord is using you also in the marketplace to be a peacemaker. So bless you for that. Thanks.
Thank you, Freek. So, maybe I could ask you two guys, because you're operating in the thick of things, the serious stuff. How many, and this is the same question for you, Dirk, and for Freek. When you, in your order of your day, you know, how many warriors do you think you encounter in prison or in your field where you work, Dirk, handling people that are doing the wrong things? How many of those warriors has actually got a good nature but was deceived by the enemy? How many guys do you deal with, Fred, in prison? And you don't have to give me a number. More than one is good enough. But how many of the guys, because I want to ask after this, I want to ask Peter if I can put you on the spot. Let's put some biblical principles in here. Give us the principles of a warrior spirit. But Freek, just a quick one, if you don't mind. How many guys do you encounter in your day-to-day dealings with guys that's in big trouble, sitting in prison, but actually have a warrior spirit that was deceived. Ricky, you can go first.
I can't put an exact amount surely to that, because in prison, how many ended up there because of anger, aggression? And they just channeled it wrongly. They never were taught how to channel that, how to... Even the Lord became angry. But what did he do? He went and he had a sweep geweef. He went to tap out just to... I don't want to say what the Lord would have done, but I believe if he stayed that in that temple when he was so angry, he would have maybe... threw not just the birds and the pigeons out, but some of them also. But he like we would say, he counted to 10 or 100, maybe 1,000, just to get away and start fixing this whip or putting it together. But if I look in the prisons, and it's not only the inmates, the bombarders, the officials, that is also at that you can see some of them that are so angry because of promotions and the way they. I had a thing at one of the prisons the other day, that one of the guys at the gate just lost it at the gate where you drive in. He just lost it. He was so angry because he needs to do gate duty for that weekend. And he wanted to tell me, oh, you the guy from the radio, you must tell them on the radio how corrupt this place is. And he had a massive issue with one of the leaders or head of the centers or management. And I saw and I looked at him and I said, you, I wish I could sit with you and just talk to you about your attitude. You are channeling this thing so wrongly, and you know, if you are passionate about something and you don't have character, you're a Hitler. So you can be a monster, become a monster and a killer. So yeah, if I listen to the youngsters, especially yesterday, and you hear how they were brought up and how many of them saw abuse, aggression, violence in the house. Dad with mom, mom with dad. It was like part of their lives. It's like it's actually normal for them. And then you hear, I got to a place where I just lost it. And there was too much inside of me, too much bitterness, too much anger. And I just lost it. Afterwards, I couldn't believe I did it. You know, so yeah, there's a lot, Enzo. I would say more... more than 99% are there because
I agree with Freek. There's at least 99% of the warriors. So if I refer to the warrior, and if I understand your question correctly, it's the men that's able to sort out dangerous situations, whatever. Unfortunately, 99% of those guys are operating under the wrong spirit. Mm-hmm. It might be the past and all of that other stuff is in there. But that is the enemy. And that is at the moment in my industry, the thing that I'm fighting the most is bringing those guys to realize who the real enemy is. And that they, you being used by the wrong spirit, doing good work, but under the wrong spirit, it brings death. It does not bring life. It will never bring peace. We will never see any change. Or we might see change, you know, cause you arrest a guy. He gets processed and he gets put to jail. Then he becomes Freek's problem. but we need to transform. Transformation only comes when you bring that warrior spirit under the lordship of Jesus Christ. I just want to, because I'd love to hear what Peter's got to say. Just a quick testimony. Last year, about the same time, last year, being so involved in the anti-hijacking and because it's quite rough out there, kidnappings and all of that stuff. I actually found myself being pulled so far into this thing that I went back and got way more physical with the guys than what I should have, and at a stage I found myself seeing that in my house there was a bit of turmoil. There was, because now I'm out of sorts. I was before I went into the private security industry, I was a pulpit pastor for 7 years. Fighting truly just focusing on spiritual warfare, but behind a pulpit in a church setting. Now I came into the security industry, and unfortunately I allowed the enemy to come and whisper lies in my ears again. What snapped me out of it is that my daughter last year, 17, she's in matric now, and she actually said to me, she came to me and she said to me, "Daddy, I don't feel safe around you or with you." And I thought, what? Guys, that broke my heart, man. Now I'm sitting here. I know I'm ready for any action. I've got guns. I've got backup. You know, how can my daughter say this, that she doesn't feel safe? And I realized it's because I've stepped out of from under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I'm now operating as out of my own ability. And that, because I'm not spiritually in line with God, it made my daughter feel unsafe with me. Yeah. So praise God. I mean, that snapped me out of it. So yeah, just that's my final testimony. Love to hear what Peter's got to say.
Yeah. Yes, Dirk, thanks. Menzo, if I can just come in. Dirk, I surely believe that you will agree, and you also know, guys, you know how many guys that was in the police with me are still at war. They are fighting a war. They're in Iraq. They're on oil boats, big ships, fighting pirates. And a warrior that doesn't fight for peace is not a warrior. Why do you fight? You need to fight for peace. And that's why we need to bring peace and make peace. And be because a child of God who makes peace, or the blessed are the peacemakers, they will be called children of God. If I look at these guys and still ministering to them, and often one of them will phone me and ask me, "But how did you get over what we have done those days? How did you get to a place where you can go on with your life, not having that nightmares again of war and all the bad things that you did and saw?" And you see them, one of them phoned me one day, he's also unfortunately divorced now. He said to me, he said he couldn't get a job. He was working on a mine somewhere in Africa as a security. But he said to me, phoned me one day, he said, "I don't know what to do with my wife and kids. I'm not a human to interact with them. I need to be out there." And he's in a war with himself. He's in a war, in a battle in himself, fighting the monster on the inside. So, yeah, sorry, Peter.
Peter, I just want to quickly put something in there. Dirk, there's a story of in the Second World War, they realize that they are losing. I mean, if you want to talk about a warrior, a fighter pilot, right? Coming from the Air Force, you'll know what I'm talking about. You know, guys are highly trained, highly specific, highly motivated. And they realized in the war that they were losing a lot of the pilots because they didn't eject out of their planes. They tried to save the plane up until the last second and then crash with the plane. And they said, you know, the pilots is worth more than the plane. You know, we're talking about Second World War, rough times, right? And they tried lots of little things. And I'm not sure if it was the Second World War now that I think of it. It could have been the Vietnam War. In any case, one of the wars. And they tried different devices to let the pilot know to get out. You know, they tried little hooters and little beepers and little buzzers and lights and things like that. And then one day they tried something new. They got the pilot's children's voices. He said, "Eject, Daddy, eject." It was instantaneous. Nothing else worked, but that, "Eject, Daddy, eject." Boop, the guys were out. And that is what your daughter did for you. She said to you, "Daddy, eject, you're in danger, get out." And you listen, you reacted immediately. I'm sure you reacted immediately. Yeah. Peter, please go ahead.
So that's an amazing story. Jesus did not attract military men. He did not attract political men, religious men. He attracted ordinary, down-to-earth, everyday guys like you and me. But guys that were authentic, guys that were prepared to take a stand, guys that were prepared to make right, life-changing decisions in their own life, and then guys that would live to help others succeed, to help other people make life-changing decisions in their lives, and guys that have a capacity for God but are strong enough to tell it like it is. Guys who are angry for the right reason at the right time, but not angry for the right reason at the right time. And the warrior spirit, I would say, is a biblical spirit. And I can't think of what the name would be for the counterfeit. I don't believe there's a world warrior spirit. I think it's a boof spirit, or it's some other, but it's not a warrior spirit. And the reason why I say that is the Bible tells us that our God is a man of war. The Lord is a man of war. In Jeremiah 20, verse 11, "The Lord is with me like a mighty warrior." The Lord is a mighty warrior. And this is why when we operate in a biblical mighty warrior spirit, we attract God's blessing. And he's in that situation with us. When you go in terms of the counterfeit worldly spirit, like Dirk said, then you're on your own, buddy. You're on your own. There's no anointing there. And like Proverbs 15, verse 1 tells us that a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And that's what Dirk was saying. When you walk in, we are back again to not who you are, but whose you are. When you walk in with your identity sorted and settled in Christ Jesus, you know whose you are, and you know that the Lord is with you like a mighty warrior. And nothing can defeat you. The Ephesians 5 says that we were once darkness, but we are now light. Ephesians 5, verse 8. We were once darkness, operating in that darkness spirit, but we are now light, operating. Jesus says, "I am the light." We are operating in the Jesus spirit, the Holy Spirit. And this is the perspective of what Dirk was saying. John chapter 1, verse 5 tells us that darkness cannot overcome the light. In fact, it tells us that it has no weapons with which to fight against the light. It cannot comprehend the light. When you come in the light, darkness flees. You said it yourself. You let a little bit of light in. You light one candle, the whole room is visible. One little bit of light in your marriage, in your business, in your confrontation, and confrontation is good. Confrontation can be bad, but confrontation can be good. And so it's about this warrior spirit is about fighting for something bigger than ourselves. Like we said, it's about showing compassion, understanding, putting yourself in the shoes. Like Dirk was saying about those guys, all they wanted was to be heard. All they wanted was to be heard. Maybe you can work their problem out, maybe you can't. But just to be heard. And it's about honoring. It's about giving people honor. It's about treating a man like a gentleman until he proves he is not one. And then you change your attitude. And that's what it's about. That's what it's about. This warrior spirit is not a namby-pamby, wussy spirit. It's not a passive doormat, do what you like, I won't hit back. No, my friend. I walk quietly, but I carry a big stick. And that's this warrior spirit. I know whose I am. And as I learn which battles are mine to fight and which battles are the Lord's to fight, most of the time we get into trouble because we're trying to fight battles that are not ours to fight. It's the Lord's battle. And we need to step aside and say, Pa, fight on. And that's a learned thing. Because as Freek said, there's always this opit that is on my back, this monkey on my back, and he wants to come through. And if he sorts this out, it's going to be painful and messy and wrong. And so we understand that. Is there anything else? Yeah, one last thing. The warrior spirit is rooted in service, in serving people, not in power or personal gain or ego. The warrior spirit is rooted in serving, like Jesus, the ultimate warrior, our ultimate example. So maybe as we go further, we can find the right name for this counterfeit world warrior spirit. But the warrior spirit is a biblical Jesus spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. Okay. Thanks, guys. I've got more Peter. Notes if you, want Peter. More info, but that's enough for now.
Yeah. So if I can, maybe a counterfeit or a name for the counterfeit is a breaker.
Breek.
Yeah. A breaker just comes in and he breaks and then it's normally to puff himself up. You know, so yeah, you know, because a breaker. So yeah, maybe we can use that.
Yeah.
I like it.
So what is a breaker in English?
That's for the scholars. That's for the learned people. Yeah.
Well, okay.
Yeah. I just want to say, Peter. Warrior spirit is not a young man's game either. As a matter of fact, it's quite the opposite. You know, and also a warrior spirit is not only does not have a gender. You know, I remind myself to of Angus's story. When he says to us young men, you know, all the guys there at Mighty Men, and there's, you know, when we shout, I mean, the mountains shudder. And he says, guys, I just want to tell you quickly. Ken, I'm thinking of Omar Shirley. He says, men, the enemy is not so scared of you guys. You know who he's scared of? That old gray lady sitting in front of the church that is praying almost constantly. That is who he fears, you know. And Ken's mom, my grandmother, was one of those ladies, and I could see when she hunted leopard when she was young, a young girl, because I had to protect the farm in Zimbabwe, you know. So there's no This is not a lady you trifle with, because the warrior spirit is not bound to a physical ability. You don't have to be big and strong to be a warrior, you know. And I've seen many female warriors that is very powerful. But what I wanted to say is, a warrior that gets trained, that has time. You know, I would love to meet the Dirk and the Freek 30 years from now. Yeah. You know, when they are not relying so much on their physical ability anymore, but they have been trained and taught in the to rely more on the only on the spirit. You know, that is like, if I may say, a good wine that has matured and become a true powerful warrior. Yeah. You know, so a warrior is not an age and it's not a gender, I believe. And maybe you can just help me with that. We see biblical warriors in the Bible that's female, that was very powerful. But I want to get, and I don't think we're going to have time for this morning, Freek. But I just want to say two things. The one is, we are still talking about work in the workplace. And I just want to tie this down with this morning. And I think we should have another round of warrior spirit, because I don't think we've touched the surface with this yet. Because I think there's an underlying thing that we need to talk about. And that is, how do you identify that you've got a warrior spirit, so that you can understand why? You know, there's many guys that go through life with a warrior spirit. He's always in trouble. You know? I remember many years ago, Peter, you might remember, we had a gentleman visiting us still at the hotel, Pierre Assor. And he was always in trouble until he got his warrior spirit under the authority of God. Yeah. And so where I want to go in our podcast and our message is for the young guys to identify, because it's not everybody. Right. I have a warrior spirit and I need to be on the lookout, because the enemy goes for the warrior spirit quickly, because he knows if he allows that guy to grow up, there's problems. You know, God, the enemy didn't want Dirk to figure out who he really is. The enemy didn't want Freek to figure out who he really is. Now he's got to deal with guys that is mature. You know, and that is a problem. Yeah. So I want us to have a chat about that in the near future, maybe next week. But I just want to quickly tie this to the job environment. I see so many times, and Dirk, you might see the same thing in your environment. And Fia, also, you know, I'm thinking of Flom at the moment. That guy's got a warrior spirit. Right? The first time I met him, I could see it in his eyes. But it was used the wrong way. Yeah. And I'm hoping that wherever he is now, it's changed. But in our work environment, we often tell our guys, tell us the problem. Don't wait for the problem to become a nightmare. Let's deal with the problem while it's small. You know, I'm an ex-firefighter. You fight a fire when it's small. You don't wait and say, let the fire go a little bit, we'll get to it now. No, you fight it when it's small. I mean, again, there on the farm, if there's a little bit of smoke, you deal with it immediately. You don't wait for it to become a problem for everybody around you. So you know, and is that bravery in the workplace? You know, it's not gonna be like, I made a mistake, right? It's gonna cause emotions. There's gonna be some issues with the boss, but let's rather tackle this now when it's a small problem. Instead of hiding it away, trying to cover it with a lie, trying to hide it under something else, you know, deal with it immediately, not confrontation. Leave it to become a problem. Confrontation.
A peacemaker. Sometimes you have to attack Iraq to bring peace. You know, and it's not always confrontation. It's not always a bad thing. Many of us grow up with fighting in the house of Friday, Brannewein, Baasland, Vermaar. But confrontation is not necessarily a bad thing. If I'm overweight, which I am, and I confront it, and I sign up at the gym and I go, that's good confrontation. And so that's a warrior spirit, is to challenge. Even at home, when you have to challenge your wife, I mean, this is a warrior spirit. Is your marriage worth fighting for? Is she valuable enough to you to stand up for what is right? You see, and this is it, very down to earth level. What are your kids watching on their cell phones? What are they listening to? Are you allowing it? There are many apps available for dads and business men and women. Many apps available. But confrontation, saying, okay, I'm not just, dis nie God se water oor God se akker. That's not a warrior spirit. That's a deceived spirit.
Absolutely. I'm trying to think of the word. There was a guy that told us the story once, and he said you've got a holy unrest. Oh, not, it was not the right word. A holy discontent. You have a holy discontent for a situation. And what might affect me to have a holy discontent, you know, I've got a holy discontent about the way that our people get to work. The transport system, I've got a holy discontent against it. I want to break down all the walls because I'm upset that my people are unsafe getting to work. And I'm not talking about taxis. I'm talking about the lack. I've got a holy discontent. Yes. That might not affect in somebody else. It doesn't bug them at all. But for me, it drives me nuts. You know, I've got a holy discontent. Yeah.
Anger is a natural, normal emotion built in by God himself. Anger, that's why the Bible says, in your anger, do not sin. There's a line where the opiate comes in. And, you know, that's the thing. Don't cross that line. Even Jesus got angry in the temple, overturned the tables, chased everybody out with a sweep, with a whip. You know, that was heavy, young. Heavy. I think if we could see that on the movie, if Chosen was to do that scene, I think it would be hectic. I think Jesus, can I say with respect, he got wild, you know, in that sense. And yet, he was sinless. He never sinned, even in that. So that's the learning curve, is what would Jesus do in this situation? But do something, we must. We're going to. By the grace of God.
Yeah.
So ek gaan bid and ek gaan beweeg.
A lack of action can be more dangerous than doing the wrong thing.
Yeah. You see that that patience, geduld, taken too far is cowardice. Let me say that again. Patience taken too far is cowardice. Bangheid. And we do not have a spirit of fear.
Yeah. Sure.
You have to challenge the... Okay. Yeah, we need to stop.
Yeah, Peter, sorry. otherwise, we make life very difficult to break. Dirk, I just want to thank you for joining us. I'm hoping that we can have another round of discussion around, because I think we only scratched the surface about this. Freek, I don't know if you agree with me. There's a lot. There's something that we need to help the young men, you know. And I'm considering myself still a young man, but let's call it the younger men, to identify this early enough that they can deal with it in the right way. You know, we need to help them understand this better, because the problem with a warrior spirit is normally a good leader as well. You know, they normally guys that get in and take control of a situation. They are good leaders. And so what they do is, you know, the story of the in the olden days, you had track springbokke. You know, you would have your farm, and there would be a couple of young rams, that strong rams of springbokke that would go through the farms. Alida can will be able to tell us that's the valley, what had happened. And then you get these young rams, and they come through your farm, and it's just a group of three or four young, strong rams, and they start collecting all the good ewes. They seeing these handsome young rams, and they start running with them, and more, and as these guys run through the farms, eventually it becomes a herd of thousands and hundreds of thousands in the olden days of springbok. And that's the problem with warrior spirit. These guys start moving, and before you know, they start collecting guys around them. You know, Freek, if you go and look at your number, the leaders, those guys are warrior spirits, and they start accumulating, especially weak guys around them, because the weak guys say, if I'm his buddy, I can also be strong. Mm. You know, and before you know it, these guys are leading a pact of breakers. And that's where the trouble starts, yeah, because they start influencing. And if you can identify that you have a warrior spirit, and that you are responsible for that spirit, it's a blessing from God, but you are responsible to control it, that it doesn't become an evil force. Yeah, we are all responsible. Individually, we are responsible for our actions. And so I want us to tackle that at a stage. Maybe next week we can just chat about it a little bit afterwards. Cool. Dirk, can I ask you to finish off with a prayer for us, please, Dirk?
Yeah, sure. Yes, Father, thank you for this time together. Father, thank you for what you're doing in and through us. Father, yeah, what an amazing conversation this is. Yeah, Lord, thank you for even the stuff that you've now come and revealed to me in and through this, Father. So I just want to bless you and honor you for that, Father, and Menzo and Freek and Peter and the boys for what they're doing, Lord. May you continue to bless them, Father. May you just flood them with your wisdom, with your grace, so that they can continue to lead men into your ways, your will. So I want to speak a blessing, Father, over each and every person hearing this, whether it's a recording later, Lord, that you will just reveal something about yourself, especially to the men, Lord, that they will not be foiled and misled by the enemy any longer. But they will identify, and they will be able to stand up and be godly warriors, bringing that spirit under the lordship of Jesus Christ and advancing your kingdom in and through it. Well, I want to just thank you, Father, for that. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
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 Amen. Bye, donkey, yeah. Dirk.
Donkey,
awesome, guys.
Bye, donkey.
Thank you for listening to the Transformation Table, where we talk about God's business.